Welcome back to your number one and your favorite Dynasty Fantasy Baseball podcast, The On Deck Circle, brought to you by the Fantasy Six Pack. I just had to hear Dave talk about it in our pre-show, his love of Little Caesars and how he discovered an extra cheese pizza. I need my guy Jason to come on in just for a quick comment on that. Jason, I've never met a man that found out about extra cheese pizza post, like, college.
I'm going to be honest with you, man. I knew about the extra cheese, but I've never been one to order it. And now Dave kind of has piqued my interest. I think I might have to order an extra cheese pizza. Cheese.
And, like, more cheese is good. Like, I'm right. With more cheese. But, like, it's just more cheese.
Yeah, it's a simple topping, but extra of it's always good.
How was your Thanksgiving?
It was good, man, actually. You know, at the in-laws, so, you know, as good as it can be, I guess, when you're...
At the in-laws, or they had them there?
Yeah, we were at the in-laws' house. My wife's aunt's and uncle's house. So, but yeah, it was a good time, you know. Gotta love good food, football. Bears win, actually, which I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing at this point.
No, that's fine.
I think Dave appreciated the Bears win, because that just gives the Lions a higher pick, but...
Yeah.
It's good, man. You know, my the turkey was deep fried, which is always a plus.
Oh, yeah.
None of your dry turkey over here.
I didn't have turkey. I didn't eat turkey. I got a steak.
Oh, okay.
We went out to dinner, which
was you said that.
But it was actually pretty good. I still hung out with the fam. That's really all that matters.
And yeah. Exactly.
And speaking of Thanksgiving, I watched something on Thanksgiving, and that's going to lead me into my question. Are you a Marvel guy? I feel like we may have already spoken about this before, but I don't know.
Yeah, for sure.
Have you seen Hawkeye?
So I have not, but it's on my list because it seems kind of like Christmassy. So I was like, this would be a nice...
So I've never watched any Marvel, really. Like, I've seen like a couple Avengers, but I'm not like a Marvel guy. So I was like, you know what? This is kind of Christmassy. Jeremy Renner was in The Town. I'm all about The Town.
Okay.
And so then my friend texts me, goes, do you understand how weird it is that you're getting into the Marvel universe because of Hawkeye? Like, that's really... And I was like, yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
So, well, do you have like a favorite Marvel movie?
So luckily, I know you don't probably have it, but I have kids. So I have Disney Plus. And with Disney Plus, yeah, I mean, you can watch all the Marvel movies. I don't know. There's like 30 of them. Of those, I feel like my favorite...
Endgame. That's what people tell me.
That one's good. It's almost too much at times. It's like, one beef I have with all those movies too is they're just way too long. Like, I can't be sitting around for 3 hours to watch a comic book movie. But I think my favorite of all of those though is honestly Captain America Civil War.
Okay. Because
that one had like all of the good Avengers kind of fighting each other. Like, there's a huge Captain America versus Iron Man scene in that one, which is actually really epic. So I'm gonna go with that one.
I've got a week off in December for school vacation, so I think I'm going to bang out a few of the Marvel movies.
Yeah, do it, man. Watch Civil War. It's a good one.
I guarantee you Dave's going to complain about his question. He's going to – but I definitely couldn't ask him that question because he'd be like, what's Marvel? Like two colors like pulled together or some shit? All right, Dave, come on in, my dude. He's going to say, that's the right thing to say.
I feel like there's so much for me to react to.
yeah, there was a lot there.
So many things. First of all, yay Bears. So good for them.
Yeah.
I did not want the Lions to win that game. Second of all, Nick, fuck you. You tell me how much you like my stories. I tell you a great story.
The riveting story of extra cheese.
I didn't just find out about it. This is like 20 years ago, but
that's
like half of my life. 20
years ago, I was 8. So I guess that's kind of funny.
You got to take the good with the bad, right? Because I tell you lots of good stories. And so I think that the cheese story is awesome, but that's cool, whatever. And yeah, I don't do Marvel or any of that nonsense. So like, fuck that stuff.
So that was a good thing I didn't ask you that question.
Yeah, if you'd asked me that, I'd been like, here we go again.
All right. This is going to be a good lead-in to our perfect draft.
Okay, good. Oh, God, really? You're going to ask me something terrible. Go ahead.
Your favorite Christmas gift you've ever given or got?
That's a tough question, man.
Golly. Yeah, that's a tough question. I guess I'll have a little bit of recency bias here because I actually got this last year. And it's going to sound stupid because it's not like, you know, what you're going to think, you know, of, but I'm going to say last year I got a heating blanket for the bed. I absolutely love it because one thing that I hate about the winter is climbing into a cold bed. And, you know, it takes, you know, whatever, 5 minutes, you know, to get all warmed up and everything. But, man, you tell you what, man, you just throw that heat blanket on, you know, 15, 20 minutes ahead of time. And it's nice just to crawl into. It doesn't have to be hot, but it's the fact that you're not crawling into a freezing cold bed.
Okay. Like that one.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Jason, do you have one?
No, I don't. I can't even put it on a spot like that.
I got a fixed tank.
I know, that's hard.
One, and that was, I fucking loved it. I love my fixed tank. I don't have it anymore. But I loved it.
Yeah, that's probably a hard one, man.
All right. So now, perfect draft.
Yeah, speaking of Christmas.
Well, here's a fun fact. I'm going to go last today because I just am. But yeah, we're going to do this was, I think, Nick. Was this your choice?
Big Christmas guy. Well, I'm a big holiday guy. My girlfriend's Jewish, so I have to include all holidays.
Yeah.
Menorah's all lit. We have a Christmas tree there. We're in full swing right now.
Yeah, man. I seriously am the guy that, like, the first chance I can put up Christmas lights, like, to where, like, I don't have to worry about, like, getting arrested for putting them up too early.
Yep.
Like, I'm good with it. And then I will procrastinate taking them down forever. I would keep them up 365. I swear to God.
Makes me so happy. I don't know why.
I would never take them down if I didn't. Like, if I was just, like, single, like, whatever, living on my own, like, I'd put them up. And all I would do is add to them. I just, you know what I mean? Like, there's no taking them down. It's I'm going to put another strand up this weekend.
Yeah, love it.
But we're going to do Christmas movies. You guys duke it out for who wants to go first.
I'll give it Jason. It's the giving season. Last.
Oh, all right. It's so weird because there's so many different lanes of Christmas movies. Yeah, so it's going to, it could be different. But I, for one, am a huge comedy Christmas movie. I like my serious ones, but comedy is where it's at. So my unanimous 1-1 is National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Oh, okay. Perfect.
Yeah, love that movie. Chevy Chase, love it.
You kind of worried me a little bit because what I'm thinking is my first one. It's not quite comedy like that, but I was thinking you were gonna snipe me right off the bat. Actually, I was like, oh no.
I'm also going comedy route.
Nice.
It's a newer one. Not newer, but like not an old time. We're going Elf.
Oh, Elf. Yeah.
Yeah, solid.
It's so good. I just watched a thing on Netflix. It was like a docuseries about the making of Elf, and it was really good. I would recommend.
Where'd you see that?
It's on Netflix. It's called The Movies That Made Us.
Okay.
And one episode is just all about Elf.
So basically what I'm hearing is – I'm going to need to get your Netflix password because I don't have Netflix anymore. And I really want to see that.
I got you.
Bro. Oh, my God. I'm going to need to steal that. Don't tell Netflix. I'm pretty sure they frowned upon that.
Yeah.
All right.
They
well,
make enough
I mean,
money.
Yeah, right. For me, I mean, I was definitely going to go Elf. I think that that's one of my favorites. I don't know how many times I've seen it, but.
Watching that year round.
Yeah, that's probably one of the. I'm not the kind of guy that watches movies like a bunch of times. First of all, I have a terrible memory. So seriously, I can watch a movie like 3 or 4 times, and if I spread it out over the course of like 10 years, I'll have an idea about what the movie is, but I don't remember the details. So it's kind of like watching it for the first time, only I know how it ends. And so that's a movie that I actually know the plot of pretty well. But with that being said, I'm gonna go with my backup plan then. And I'm gonna go Home Alone.
Oh
yeah, pick your poison.
I almost took that 1-1, yeah.
Yep. But I mean, I remember actually I watched Home Alone in the movie theaters. you know, back when I was like a kid. I don't know exactly when that came out. Let's see if I can see when that came out.
I think it was like early 90s.
1990. So I was 8 years old. So I was basically my son's age, roughly. And I remember going and seeing that movie. And, you know, I obviously watched them all. That's another one that I've seen, you know, a handful of times.
Yeah.
Not as much as Elf, but still. Yeah, Home Alone, I think. That's so classic, I think. And when I think of Christmas, like, that is something that I think of for sure. Mm-hmm. The next one, I'll go much more classic and kind of another one that I haven't seen very many times, even though it's on TV, you know, once a year. I've probably seen it like once and then maybe bits and pieces of it, you know, a handful of times, you know, here and there. But I think It's a Wonderful Life is kind of gotta be, you know, if I can get that in the second round, I think that's good straight night. Up thievery. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, that might be like the most classic Christmas movie that I can possibly think of.
Yeah. All right. I'm going the OG Grinch, like the Grinch, not like the Jim Carrey one's fine.
Right.
Yeah.
The one after that. I didn't see the most recent one, but the original Grinch, like, it's just so good. That era of movies, like, all of those movies are so good. This is like one of the hardest drafts we've had. Just
I prefer the older movies, honestly. Yeah. Like, I mean, I don't mind. I remember, you know, back in the day, and I don't know what they have on nowadays, but like, a lot of times, like, you could flip on like AMC and they would have like these older movies.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know, something made me just like, I was flipping through channels and something came across. I ended up, you know, giving it, you know, 5 minutes of my attention. And before I know it, I'm like hooked on this movie. And it was towards the beginning, I'm like, oh my God, that movie was great. Like, I thought it was going to suck. It was from, you know, it was old, you know, and yeah. It was amazing. And then I kind of caught a couple other ones. I'm like, damn, these old movies are really good.
Jace?
Oh man, so there's, like you said, this is so hard because we only get three and there's just so many you want to pick. But the next one I'm going to go with is the very original Rudolph, the Rankin and Bass, the little claymation ones. I mean, it's a classic.
Yeah.
How do you hate on that? I mean, I actually had one of the best things too about right now is introducing my kids to these Christmas movies. They love watching them. We have to buy them all the time. So we own Rudolph the Reindeer, so we've watched that multiple times. And so, yeah, I'm going to go with that one. And then my last one, which is kind of watered down at this point now, but it still is a holiday tradition around here. And that's the Christmas Story, as it gets played for 24 hours on TBS all of Christmas Day.
Really?
Without that, I don't know if it's a complete Christmas. So I'm going to go with Christmas Story.
Yeah, classic.
Nice. You can see my dog. She's jumped off. But – my pick, this is, I don't even know if you guys have even heard of this movie. This is just one of my favorites. You've definitely heard of it. It's called Jingle All the Way.
Oh, see, I almost took that because me and my buddy, you know, we have this like inside running joke that it's like some holiday blockbuster amazing video movie, but it's so bad it's good. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm a sucker for a father-son story. And like,
yeah.
It's just so good. It's so good.
Arnold Schwarzenegger, great.
Yeah. That's what, like, I thought. I was gonna say, is that the Arnold Schwarzenegger movie? But I'm like, oh my God, it can't be. So I don't want to sound like that idiot. But I was half gonna chime in and ask that. I just was so afraid of getting just you know, made fun of for being like, no, it's not. That's a classic, you know.
Yeah.
Love him.
I'm positive I haven't seen that, so
you should check it out. It's,
you'll have to throw it in the group chat or something so I remember, because I will not remember to watch Jingle All the Way. all right, so again, I'm gonna go classic. I feel like the best ones are the classics when it comes to this. And I mean, it's really down to two. I did not think either one of them would be available here, so I was actually gonna go. I knew I was gonna have to choose between Elf and Home Alone. And then I didn't know if either one of these two were going to come back around to me. I guess I got to go Miracle on 34th Street, right?
I haven't seen that.
Yes, you have.
No, I haven't seen the It's a Wonderful Life either. I was just nodding.
Really? Like, those are like... No. Those are on every year. They're old. They're just
I'm watching Jingle All the Way.
Wow. All right. Well, that's crazy that this was your topic. This is like your baby. And you haven't seen like two of like the all-time like greatest Christmas movies ever.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Slice of life movies. It's not
I ain't mad about it.
Christmas Carol was not drafted, and I'm upset.
That was, I know.
That was the other one.
That was the other one. It was between those two, and I couldn't decide which. I've seen Miracle on 34th Street more.
Yeah.
So I went with that. I did not think either one of them were going to be available. Yeah. I actually thought, Nick, I thought you were just going to bang them both.
There's just so many to choose. It's like, how do you pick your top? Well,
I did not think Jingle All the Way was going to get selected. No, so
I have so many,
and like, I want to watch that. Christmas for real.
Movies that I like are terrible movies.
But I think that
Christmas with some the Cranks, great movie. As Ben Affleck in it, you also probably don't know what that is either. But
I feel like when it comes to movies, like I feel like the best movies are either like the absolute like just like classic that everybody knows, or just those bullshit movies that you either love them or you just think they're the dumbest thing ever.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. the polarizing ones, you know, where you're you tell someone that you like that movie and like, oh my God, that's stupid. And you're like, no, it's like my favorite movie ever. Like for me, I wouldn't necessarily say it's my favorite movie ever, but a movie that I could watch over and over and over and over again is Team America. Absolutely terrible movie, stupid.
Yeah.
But for a guy that likes South Park and stuff, you know, like that movie is awesome.
Yeah.
And I got a funny story that I'll tell you some other time about Team America. I've also got a super funny story about Napoleon Dynamite.
Were you an extra in that movie too?
No. The Napoleon Dynamite story is a classic Dave story.
All right.
You have to know that story. You'll go, oh yeah, that makes so much sense. That's a good one.
Okay. I'm glad no one said Die Hard. That's the worst tweet in the world. I feel like people are just trolling at this point.
I agree. I agree.
Like, Die Hard is my favorite. Like, no, it's fucking not.
Yeah,
get out of here.
Yeah, get out of here.
That's a troll move. So let's get into some business. We're 20 minutes in almost, and I don't think we've talked about baseball at all. literally, I don't know that there's been a word spoken about baseball.
I know.
The closest thing is
my girlfriend is saying, "No, there has not been a word spoken about baseball."
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
We should almost have like an off-season show that you know is just completely void of baseball.
Right.
I mean, well, they are going on their lockout starts tonight, so I guess next week we can do that.
Right.
All
right.
So Dynasty Deep Dives. We picked on the wall. I think I don't know which one of you two. I think it was Nick gave me the lotto code, and we picked out. I'm not even gonna say the guy's ball that we picked out because I'm pretty sure the guy he's one of my guys. And I think I said that when I picked the ball. I said, "Oh, this guy's probably gonna be the guy I talk about." And I wasn't joking. Yep. I really thought that was gonna be my guy, but. Who wants to lead off then with their pitcher?
I'll start up. And since we're running low on time, I'll be very brief, just because of the time.
Fun fact, guys. Real quick, we are in the midst of doing our mock draft.
Oh yeah!
Oh yes! Big news! Big news!
And
plug our own draft, guys.
And
I know, right?
A notification that said that I am up.
Okay.
Let me see if that's true. Oh, I am up to pick, boys. Should I pick live or just
live? Go.
So it's we're in the third round. Got the
seventh. Loving the pace.
Yeah, I know. We started this 10 hours ago, and we're 26 plus. No, we're 30 picks in. God, who's on my team? I don't even know. I got Jackson Jobe and Matt McClain so far with my two picks. I refuse to take another pitcher. So I'm going to go with the best hitter left on my board. And I was really hoping I was going to take this guy. I'm going to take him real quick. And I like him because he's going to confuse the hell out of people. Max Muncy is the guy that I just.
Oh, I had him queued up for sure.
Yep, he was next on my. I didn't know that he was going to get to me here, but I really wanted to take Jackson Jobe. obvious mm-hmm. reasons. Same reason I think that, Jason, I think it was the same thing with your first round pick. You reached a little
same
bit.
With,
just
same with mine.
Okay. Well, yeah, but you didn't, though. yeah, maybe a little bit. But I think we all reached ever so slightly for our first round pick. But that's what I would have done in real life, though, with who was on the board. And this guy here, it's kind of fun to, you know, have drafted Max Muncy. But anyways, go ahead with your low-hanging fruit, Nick.
My low-hanging fruit, starting pitcher, we got my guy, Steven Strasburg.
Who I just traded for in a 30-team league.
I'm sure you love him, Dave.
I literally just traded for him in a 30-team league. That is not a joke.
If I
you keep talking, and I'll look.
Perfect. He is the epitome of somebody that I'm targeting in a league where my team is good because people are so low on him, and you can buy low, and that the reward for trading for him is so much higher than the risk.
And why do you think I traded for him?
I know because you're a smart guy, Dave.
It's a win now league. It's a win now team. I'll get to it here in just a second.
I'll still keep going. So San Diego State, as many people know, not misplaying. But when he's actually pitching, he's very good. And my only issue is the team is really bad. As we've trying to find people to talk about for this has been really hard, actually. Like, usually I can look through and be like, okay, boom, boom, boom.
Just wait. Especially the pitching. The pitching is awful.
Wait till I do my hit. Oh boy. But just crazy great ceiling. He could be your number two if he's what he is. But my only scared thing is that he won't be good because his team sucks. He probably could get traded this year. If he's healthy, they could deal him for something. I don't know what his contract is anymore. But, yeah. Dave, did you get there?
I did. So you talk about a buy low, right? And keep in mind, this is a win now team as it is. But I mean, I assume that there may be a draft pick included in here as well. No, there can't be. Never mind. It would show. Because this, anyways. So I got Steven Strasburg. I gave up three prospects. One that I'm not even super crazy high on. One guy is an absolute bounce back guy that was almost worthless at the same time last year. MJ Melendez was like the headliner of this trade. I gave up Errol Vera as well, the shortstop prospect from the Angels. So good prospect, but not really anything that my team cares about. And then the guy that actually hurt the most for me to give up is another one of my Blue Jays. I love the Blue Jays, but Estevan Machado. Shortstop prospect for them. Real young kid.
I don't know who that is.
I gave up those three guys for Steven Strasburg.
That's a smash except for you.
Yeah.
I thought so. I inquired about Strasburg a while back with this guy. I don't know if it was at the end of the season or towards the end of the season, and price was high, and that's fine. And then he had put him up on the block again, and I had reached out again, and he was like, hey, I'd like to work something around Melendez and Vera. And I was like, oh,
man. Yes, and?
Yeah, is that it? Or did you need – what else did you need? Like, just you can give me a couple more names if you want to. And we settled on Machado, who I didn't want to give up. But, I mean, for what Strasburg could do for my win-now team.
Yeah.
Even if it pans out to where nothing happens, I didn't need Melendez at catcher anyways, so – even if he pans out to be something, I wasn't even relying on him. Vera, again, was just trade bait at some point. And then Machado, I just got him because I like him, and I don't know if he'll ever turn into anything. So even if that trade turns into big old zero for me, I will not regret it.
Yeah, no, that was worth it for sure.
Well, like Nick said, this pitching staff is pretty miserable. So I had to go out and find something to talk about other than, you know, their ace. So I went ahead with the Kyle Finnegan, who's actually their incumbent closer for 2022, minus any, you know, free agent signings.
I saw that you picked him in the group chat, and it didn't even dawn on me. You're gonna like who I picked. Then it's kind of funny, and it was not planned.
Nice. Yeah, it, you know, if they do sign a or bring in some sort of closer anyways, he does have the abilities to be, you know, high leverage setup man, which could have some appeal in, you know, saves plus hold leagues. He did have 24 save plus holds last season. You know, typical, you know, relief pitcher features a three pitch mix of, you know, sinker, slider, split finger. His sinker's basically like a glorified fastball. Hits mid-90s. He uses it to induce ground balls. I think he had a ground ball rate of almost 50% last year. He does also limit hard contact. It's in the bottom half of the league. The biggest thing I have with him is he does kind of lack command at times, which obviously isn't ideal for your closer or setup man. But if you can cut down on the walks, I think he'd be just fine for a you know, closer or setup man if in a saves plus hold league.
So here's a question for you, Jason. I don't think you spit this out. Maybe you did and I just missed it. But do you know how many career saves that Finnegan has?
I looked it up. I think he's got three.
He has 11. He got
it. Oh, okay.
He has 11 career saves.
That's right, because he had 24 saves plus holds last year. It's like 11.
11 saves and 13. And
14. Yeah.
Yeah, it was 11 and 13. And as you know, it is my goal to, as often as possible, to kind of give under the radar guys for all three of these. And it's not always possible. And the Nationals made it easy because Strasburg was already gone. And after that, it's just, you know, a bunch of whatever. I really like Josiah Gray, but I feel like he's not under the radar at all. So I didn't want to go with him. So I looked at their bullpen and I went, oh, wow, this is bad. I'm like, this is really bad. And I'm like, Kyle Finnegan is their presumed closer, barring, you know, trading or signing for someone, you know. And so I looked and I said, oh, hey, a guy that I've kind of liked but has never really produced is sitting right there technically as the top setup guy, Tanner Rainey.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think that's a guy, depending on how deep your league is, you know, most standard-ish type leagues, even maybe slightly deep leagues, he's probably available on your waiver wire. And it's not that I'm so much advocating that, you know, Tanner Rainey is like the guy that you want to get, but, you know, he's a guy that if he's available, you have the space for him on your bench that would be a good kind of stash and hold, because they really don't have a closer in Washington. Like I said, Finnegan's had 11 career saves. So there's a decent chance that, barring a, you know, a free agent signing here, that Rainey could lead that team in saves, even if that ends up being, you know, 10 or 15. But depending on the kind of league you're in, you know, stashing him on the bench for the chance of him, you know, becoming the closer at some point sure beats the hell out of trying to, you know, pick him up on the waiver wire whenever, you know, Finnegan gets hurt or Finnegan gets, you know, removed or whatever. So more of a deeper league kind of a play. But I think that, you know, you could probably get Rainey for free in a lot of your leagues. And it's more situational based than anything. But yeah, that's my kind of deeper guy there for you.
Yeah, I looked at Rainey myself just to figure out who to pick. And the both of them, I think, are kind of in that same boat. Like, you know, there's no guarantee that Finnegan is the closer. So,
yeah. Well, if you had picked Rainey, I'd have picked Finnegan. So I did not know that you did that, even though in retrospect, I remember seeing your text.
Yeah.
To hitter, we're going to go with the guy that I actually pulled the ball of to get us to the Washington Nationals. And that's Carter Kieboom. Once a very highly regarded prospect, I think just about everywhere, he was a top five prospect in what it would have been, 2018, I guess, because it was 2019 that he made his first appearance at the big league level, and he was a dumpster fire. 43 plate appearances, and I think he hit like under 200. It was like 127 or something stupid. And then, you know, that was, you know, he was up, he was down pretty quick. He was struggling. Got another shot in 2020. A lot more plate appearances, got up to 122 plate appearances, but again, struggled. Like, he hit just over 200. I think it was like 207. Obviously the on base percentage was non-existent, you know, with that low of a batting average. 2021, split his time between AAA and, you know, big league level with the Nationals. And, you know, big surprise, he continued to struggle to this point in his career, including the minors. You know, Kieboom has been more hype than production. Even looking back, he's never had a really strong stretch in even the minor leagues. But, you know, he's still only 24 years old, so we still have, you know, two, three years before he really gets to that prime. Yeah, so he still has plenty of time to figure it out. You know, he's going to have every chance to earn at-bats at the major league level at third base with the Nationals yet again, even after all these struggles. So I think that he makes for a very interesting, you know, buy-low candidate, unless, you know, the owner of his is a family member. I would imagine you could get him for a fairly decent price. You know, if you do go ahead and snag him, you have to know that, you know, the chances of him getting nothing, you know, are going to be pretty strong, I would say. But 24 years old, you know, a kid that was very highly regarded. You know, I think for the little bit that you'd have to give up, the potential of him turning into, you know, a quality MLB bat is probably worth, you know, the cost at this point. Probably not going to happen, of course. But that could be one of those, you know, where, you know, you get some pretty good value if things were just to pan out for him.
Even just pan out like a little.
Yeah, right. I didn't say he turns into an all-star or anything crazy. Yeah. I just said a quality bat. You know, a guy that is, you know, a fringe starter maybe in a 12-team league even. You know, I mean, a 30-team league, that guy becomes a pretty valuable piece. But, you know, I don't know. I mean, he still has some potential. I mean, at that age – I think it's worth a shot if you can give up something that you don't need or something you're not planning on, because it could pan out, you know, pretty well. I think that's a pretty low risk, medium reward kind of a move.
I agree. What are we on now? Hitters. Oh, guys, Rick, I know I really went deep for Strasburg, so I'm going to go even deeper with my hitter today. This will be even quicker than a Strasburg one.
Do I need to get the bat and ball?
I think I'll be done by the time you find the bat.
Fair enough.
The hitter is Juan Soto. Starts and ends. Best hitter in baseball, most likely. Close. Maybe. Top three.
In the conversation.
Go trade for him.
Maybe the best approach at the plate, too. I mean,
He's so good. And he's still so young.
He's insanely young. Like, yeah, you would think he's, you know, 20, 25, 26, 27 even.
Then he'd still be so young.
Yeah, even like, oh yeah, hey, he's only 25 years old, and you're like, no, he's still got a little ways to go.
He's like 23, so young. Maybe 22.
Maybe 22, I think.
I'd have to look it up, but it's
20. About to be turned 23, maybe.
Yeah, I'd say 22. Wow. But either way, he's still like, there's guys that good prospects that haven't even debuted yet.
Yeah.
That are his age.
Yeah.
And right. He's had quality major league seasons.
MVP like seasons.
Yeah. Exactly. A World Series.
Yeah. And his team's insanely young. He's got plenty of time to get significantly better if he can stay healthy.
Yeah.
His ceiling is as high as anybody's. And what's funny is I remember, I guess I could be wrong. I'm pretty sure it was last season, but things get muddled in my little tiny brain. He was in the Home Run Derby last year, right?
In 2021?
Yeah, he was. I'm almost positive. And the story was, man, he is not hitting for any power, you know, yada, yada, yada. Gets in the Home Run Derby, comes out in the second half, absolutely.
I do remember that.
Watching the ball. Just like, yep. Just not that like a Kyle Schwarber level, but he just went on a tear. Just power, 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 power. You know, just kind of giving everyone the old fuck you, you know, like, you know, like that guy, he kind of reminds me of one of those players, like almost like Ichiro, where Ichiro didn't hit for very much power because he didn't try to. If Ichiro would have tried to sit there and blast 40 home runs, by all accounts, he would have had little trouble with that. He would have diminish his overall, you know, stat line. You know, he wouldn't have been as good of an overall hitter. But if he wanted to, that he could have done that. I feel like Soto's the same way. If Soto wants to go out there and say, hey, 2022, I'm hitting 50 bombs. I don't know that he would necessarily, but he sure as hell would come close if he didn't. He just would, you know, he'd probably lose out on a lot of the other things that make him so valuable. You know, like, you know, like you said, we talk about his plate approach and stuff. And, yeah. You know, that kind of stuff. So could he hit 50 if he wanted to? Yeah, I'm pretty sure he could. Yeah. That's just not the way he – that's not the way he rolls.
Right. All right, my hitter for the Nationals is going to be someone that's a new National, actually, and that's Keibert Ruiz, the catcher. He was one of the main pieces that came over to the Nationals in the Trey Turner deal. Him and that's why I didn't want to pick Josiah Gray, because I'm like, I can't basically bring in two Dodgers. In the I know they're Nationals now, but, you know, anyways, you know, he was a former top prospect. He graduated this last year in 2021. You know, he appeared in 29 games, 23 of those for the Nationals. And then since joining the Nationals, he slashed 284, 348, and 395. You know, the slugging's a little underwhelming as he only had 5 extra base hits. Small sample size, but still only 5 extra base hits. But he does have an advantage to put at the plate. Doesn't make a he makes a ton of contact. Yeah, he only struck out and walked less than 10% of the time. So, you know, that's kind of shows you that he's putting the bat on the ball. He also has a chase rate that's below 30%. So he's obviously got a good eye for the, you know, the strike zone, which, you know, again, it's a catcher, so it's nothing to be, you know, super excited about. But if you can get someone, you know, he's young too. He's only like 24, I think, 23, 24. He also excels really well against the breaking pitches. He hit 467 last year against all breaking pitches. So that's another thing that, you know, one thing to look at, you know, it's one thing to hit fastballs, but, you know, if a hitter is making great contact and getting, you know, getting hits off the breaking ball, it's even better. So,
hey, you want to hear a fun fact? Want to hear a fun fact about fastballs?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Do you know in whatever?
Oh, I saw. I can't. I saw your tweet, so I can't comment.
No, I don't think. I don't think you see. I don't think you know about this.
Well, I saw what you tweeted, but go ahead.
Oh, maybe I don't think I did, but maybe, we'll see.
Yeah.
What player? How would you put this? I guess led the league.
Okay, maybe I didn't see
this. Worst batting average against fastballs 95 miles an hour and above.
Rafael Devers.
Incorrect. Mm.
Bregman?
Javier Baez.
Oh, that sounds about right.
Son of a bitch.
That's why you know that.
Yeah. That's why I know that. So here's another fun fact real quick. I don't know the exact number. I want to say it's 695, but I could be wrong. Javier Baez's OPS against fastballs 95 mile an hour or better. Well, let me take this back. Javier Baez, how does this fucking stat go? It's a
good if you're one. Trying to portray that Javier Baez strikes out a lot, it's true,
but he also does cool slides.
So if you take Javier Baez's OPS on balls that he makes contact with, excluding the ones that he misses. If you just take his OPS on balls in play, on 95 mile an hour fastballs or above, it is below league average on all players with all accounts of 95 mile an hour or plus fastballs. Does that make sense? Like, even when he makes contact,
he's still
taking out the swings and misses. He still has a worse OPS than what everyone does, even when they swing and miss.
Point of the story is Dave loves the Baez signing by the Tigers.
Did you see that side by side of him and Jonathan Scope, and it was the same numbers?
But Scope doesn't do swims and slides.
Here's what I will say, though. Swim
slides, exactly.
In all seriousness, though, is seeing him, you know, in the Tigers uniform for the last few years, Jonathan Scope is a severely underrated player. He's really good. He is really, really good.
Highly undervalued.
Yeah, but Javier Baez is, about
the same. A Tiger.
So I've got to support him. I guess I don't have a choice. I think that is a terrible signing. Like, from the outside, maybe you don't know this as well as I do, but the Tigers offense, without question, their biggest weakness is the ability to get on base. That is Javier Baez's biggest weakness, is his ability to get on base. If the dude had a 350 on base percentage, he would be a drastically different player. Yep. So we just added to our biggest weakness by far. I don't care how good Riley Green and Spencer Torkelson are, if and you know when they come up, Javier Baez is gonna just make, oh man, it's rough. I mean,
preaching to the choir, man. I've dealt with, you know, I've seen Javi Baez in person, and you know, for the last several years, you don't got to tell me how much he swings and misses and doesn't get on base.
But I mean, you know, if you want to add him to a team that, you know, is patient, gets on base, and you know, so if you want to add him to like, you know, a Yankees or a Red Sox team, I can get it, you know, like, you know,
right.
It's the same reason why I won't touch Javi Baez in like 30 Rock. It's an OBP league.
Yep.
No, thank you. I don't want Javi Baez. I don't care if you've got, you know, Max Muncy and Juan Soto on that team. Baez is going to bring them down. And it's the same thing. You basically, that's the same thing with the Tigers. They don't get on base. And so what do? You bring in the guy that is like the worst in baseball at getting on base. And then you put him in this big park where his home run power is going to turn into some more doubles. And yeah, I like the defense, but we could go into defensive metrics that say Javier Baez is not a much better than average defender. I don't know, man.
I love how the Washington Nationals Triple D's has gone down the path of Dave talking about the Tigers.
It was either that or I had to write an article for Joe, and I wasn't.
This is true.
As soon as he put that out there, who wants to write the article? I said, not me. That's who doesn't want to do this. Let's get into some. We already did. No, we didn't.
We're on prospects now. Yep.
Yeah, we got to be prospects. I've talked a lot, so I'll go last. You guys bail it out for your prospect.
All right, I'll be quick, Jake.
All right, yeah.
This team is so bad. Even their prospects aren't good yet because they just found out how bad they were.
I think there was a little bit of reasoning why you could see kind of why they dumped Trey Turner a year ahead of you know, plans.
Really can. Just they needed – it's not the Mookie Betts trade, but, like, I get right. Like, you had to just get stuff that hopefully could pan out. So I went with Brady Hoes. Is that how you say his name?
I think. I'm not sure.
Is he related to Cody? I'm going to assume.
I would assume that that's how you pronounce the last name.
Yeah. Okay. Well, he was drafted in this past year's rookie draft at pick number 11. He was just drafted in our mock draft at pick number 8. Can you – this is going to be a very dumb question, so be ready. So his OPS was 1.2348. How do I say that?
What do you mean?
Like you did.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I didn't know.
Yeah. I mean, I would say like 1,000, like whatever the number was, 1,048 or whatever.
Yeah, okay. But again, like most of these first-year player draft guys, he only got 29 at-bats.
Yeah. So I was going to say, how many at-bats did he have to have an OPS over 1,000?
Yeah. So if he can keep up this pace, guys, he's a Hall of Famer.
Well, yeah, of course he is. He makes Barry Bonds look like a bitch.
Well, he is a bitch.
Well, yeah, but he makes him look like a bigger bitch.
He is a big bitch. But, yes, Brady Hoes, I think he's going to be good.
So you're all in. You love the Hoes.
You could say that I'm, yeah.
I think it might be pronounced, I don't know, it seems like it might be House, but yeah.
House?
I'm
not like sure. He's Hoes. He's
until we get confirmation otherwise, he's Hoes.
Yeah, we'll keep it at that for sure.
What do you got, Jason Beckner? Oh, all right, your name, man. You keep taking that.
You know, actually, Joe switched it back, I think, but that's regardless. Is it we're just gonna rock? We're just gonna rock the Jason until he makes his appearance or what? Yep. Okay.
Yeah. So you're just Jason forever.
Yeah. I'm going to go with, you know, not only one of my favorite prospects in the Washington system, but also one of my, I don't know why, just one of my favorite prospects in all of baseball, and that's Jackson Rutledge.
Yeah, I don't know why either.
Yeah, I kind of like him, man. Ever since being drafted as 17th overall in 2019, I think it's just maybe his huge frame. The guy's 6'8", you know, generates that, uses that to generate high-end velocity, sits mid-90s, complements that with a plus slider, you know, right-handed. You know, still doesn't have a ton of professional experience. Maybe that's one thing that's, you know, kind of outlying is it's been almost what, 2 full seasons now, and he's only made 23 starts, and that's all been at the lower levels. So nothing to get too excited about yet, but you know, I'm excited to see what you know, he can do. You know, develop, you know, maybe take another step in 2022. But, you know, in 2021, he did battle some minor nagging injuries. He made 13 starts and did have a 24% K rate. His ERA was a little inflated this year, but a lot of that could probably have been from the injuries. A lot of the nagging injuries were like blisters and things that affect, you know, pitcher. And then he also had a couple of bad outings that just really highly, you know, inflated that ERA. So to me, I think he's got some upside, especially for the K upside. You know, like Nick's like to dig the long ball, Jason's like the K rate. So that's one of the biggest things I like about Rutledge is his K rate. And I like to see him develop more in 2022. I like to see him get a chance at double A. You know, that's where I think he could, you know, guy's 22 already. So I think he's due to be, you know, out of those high A and, you know, rookie balls leagues. So, that's my prospect.
So my guy actually at one point in time, well, maybe even still, I guess, but I know at one point in time for sure he was the largest ever signing bonus for an international signee ever by a lot. Their record before they signed him was $1.5 million, and they gave him a signing bonus of $3.9 million. So, like, you know, signed him for significantly more, you know, than anybody else did. And, you know, at the time was considered, you know, a five-tool prospect that has seen a lot of injuries that has kind of shot him way down a lot of rankings. This is a guy that I used to own everywhere. And I've slowly gotten away from him just for a variety of reasons, injuries and just, you know, I mean, I still have him as a 2023 ETA. So, all things considered, he still has a little ways to go even to reach the big leagues. But Yasiel Antuna is my guy. Like I said, been big on him for a while, but I mean, basically missed all of 2019 recovering from Tommy John surgery. Has had some leg injuries as well. Came back and, you know, obviously last year there were no minor leagues, but he was at the alternate site. And from all accounts that I have seen and heard, I obviously was not there, but he was showing off some incredible power, was showing off a really good, you know, ability to, you know, to hit the ball as well. So obviously exactly what we want to see from him, you know, from a dynasty perspective. 2021, you know, obviously finally, you know, got to, you know, get back on the field, you know, at the minor league level. Did not wow anybody, did not have anything that, you know, would jump off the pages. But, you know, I mean, everyone had missed, you know, 2020 for the most part. He missed 2019 as well. So it had been, you know, a while since he had faced legitimate, actual, you know, real on the field game competition. He had 400 at bats at high A. Hit 227, so nothing there. 307, he had a Javier Baez kind of on base percentage. Slug 385, again, nothing pretty there. Counting stats in those 400 at bats, 55 runs, 12 home runs, 65 RBIs, 4 bags. So again, nothing that, you know, you would see in a box score, you know, on a stat line and think, oh, hey, this kid is something special. Those injuries have really derailed him quite a bit. Like I said, I see him as a 2023 ETA, you know, if ever, I guess. But 2023 makes sense for me. At this point, I think in a perfect world, you know, maybe 2025, 2026, somewhere in that time frame, you know, he's acclimated at the big league level. I could see a stat line potentially in his prime, about 75 runs. He's got 25 home run potential. I could see him getting 5 bags, maybe hitting 260, 340-ish in the on-base percentage, maybe a 450 slug. So, you know, not a all-star kind of a player necessarily, but a guy that, you know, with that power, you know, definitely could provide you with something. I don't think it's going to be a shortstop any longer. He's probably going to be, you know, more of a third baseman, you know, maybe corner outfield kind of guy, but depends on who owns him in your league. They're either going to know exactly who he is and maybe still have some hope for him, and maybe you can't get him on the cheap, but he also may be on the waiver wire, and maybe, you know, you can either snag him at the end of this first-year player draft you got coming up, or once the, you know, waivers open up after the draft, you can just go ahead and get him for free. So just somebody to keep an eye on.
Love it.
Can you guys guess what Nationals prospect I was obsessed with 4 years ago? He's no longer in the league, I don't think. And it was a pitcher.
No.
He eventually made it to the Nationals. I feel like he had some weird injury, like punched a wall. The answer is Cody Glover.
Never even heard of him.
No. Cody Glover was their closer for like.
Oh, Cody Glover. Yeah, yeah, I know who you're talking about. I thought you said Cody. I know who you're talking about. Yeah, he was a reliever. Yeah, big kid. Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
And I was like, oh, I'm going to. Like, I picked him like late in some draft. I was like, look, he could be a good closer one day. And then I just became like obsessed with him. And then he stunk.
Yeah.
That's the beauty of Dynasty Baseball. We all get these guys that are like, I'm obsessed with this guy. You know, you got him in all your leagues. Yeah. Sometimes they pan out, and then other times you're like, why did I waste my time acquiring this guy across all my leagues?
That's how we roll.
Yep.
Yeah. And it's funny. It's fun whenever they're like a nobody. You know what I mean? Like you've got, guys that just like these guys. Like, for example, and maybe I just know this because I'm a Tigers fan, but Jake, Gator Sosa on Twitter, he is fucking obsessed with Roberto Campos of the Tigers. I've been in leagues with him. I've been in mock drafts with him. He has gotten him in everything. And I always try to snipe him, but I don't want to sit there and take him like so early that it's like ruined. I would say
alarming. Roberto
Campos is going to ruin the mock draft, but I don't want to take him like 10 rounds too early just to snipe him. I want to take him in a reasonable point in time, but before Jake does. And the son of a bitch gets him every single time. So that's his guy. He loves
him. Yeah.
I don't know why. I don't even know how he knows about him. I mean, that's a Rays fan, and he just loves this guy. And I don't
know. Got him.
It happens. We all have that, you know.
As a matter of fact, no, I wouldn't do it. I was going to say, as a matter of fact, with my last pick in this, I might just take him, even though he's not even eligible, just to say I got him, Jake.
Just to piss him off.
But that would just ruin this because he's not even eligible. It would just be stupid. So.
I mean, at this pace, man, we just keep running these mock drafts up, man. Yeah, this is awesome.
One of my picks we've had since I made my pick. We've
it's got to be almost.
As a matter of fact, you know who's on the clock? Gator Sosa.
Oh.
Jake is on the clock.
All right.
Trying to figure a way to take Campos. how can I wiggle this in?
Dave, yeah. Michigan's in the college playoffs currently.
Pleasure being back with you again. Maybe I'll join you next week. We'll see exactly what happens. Last week kind of came at the last minute where I was like, oh, this ain't gonna work. We'll see what happens next week. I hope to be with you every week, but we'll see what happens. Do we want to do with the ball real quick, or do we want to just save it for later since we're running so late?
We'll save it for later. Just make sure you're following the hashtag on Twitter.
Hashtag
F6P mock.
There you go. And you can obviously one of our Twitter accounts and find that as well. I've got a link actually in there that takes you right to the draft board. So you can literally just use it for whatever purposes you deem necessary.
Yeah, love it.
All right. They'll definitely see you next week. I may or may not. So thanks for tuning in.
See ya.
See you guys.
Thank you.